Attention listeners, we're excited to announce that AfterSight will be moving to our new office on March 26th. As we make this transition, our services will be down most of the day. We apologize for any inconvenience, but truly appreciate your understanding as we start this new chapter. Thank you for listening to AfterSight.
You're listening to an AINC original podcast. We believe you don't have to do life without a compass. Let us be your guide on this amazing journey. Welcome to Navigating Life with Vision Loss.
Hello, I am your host for NLVL, Kim Wardlow. NLVL is an original podcast produced by AfterSight. So welcome to today's episode. We are in our holiday series of episodes. And one of the big things the holidays bring is travel. So you may be traveling, you may be hosting people that are coming to you, but travel at the holidays is always a little bit busier and slightly different than travel at other times. So I have Ted DiQuici joining me today. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, Ted has been on. You've been on before talking about travel. Also, Ted has amazing tactile artwork as well as his photography. So a couple different sides of Ted there, his artwork side as well as his travel and some of the blogs and things he's done about travel. So
it keeps me out of trouble.
Well, that's good. That's probably hard to do. So
it is indeed. Yeah. If anybody's interested, you can check out, you know, links to just about everything I'm doing at my last name. It's TAHQUECHI.com.
Yeah. And I definitely recommend checking it out. There's some great things. And if you ever have the chance to experience Ted's tactile artwork in person, I'd definitely take the opportunity to do that. To be able to see it, to be able to feel a photograph in a tactile way. So definitely do that. So Ted, you do a lot of travel.
I do.
So you have a lot of experience and you've promoted accessibility with, you know, airlines and different travel providers. And you've also promoted guide dogs and service dogs, legitimate use, you know, service dogs being allowed on different forms of travel. But when it comes to the holidays, I don't know, do you have any experiences, specific holiday experiences that you'd like to share, especially as a person who has low vision? Travel is challenging at the holidays anyway, but
at the best of times, the, you know, travel is always a challenge, or, you know, I like to consider it fun. If you're blind or have low vision. And I would say that, you know, especially around the holidays, that, you know, if I was sighted, I would say I try to keep my head on a swivel, you know, so to try to keep an eye of, you know, what's going on around me. But I think especially for, times like this during the holidays, people put up decorations and they have, you know, wreaths and that kind of stuff. And they have, you know, garland hanging everywhere. And, you know, just kind of try to be wary, because it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, in the airport trying to get to your gate or whether you're in a hotel, there's going to be things that are kind of out of place. So even if you're used to going to someplace, there's going to be stuff that's going to be kind of hanging around, you know, and I would definitely say that, you know, kind of that's one, you know, kind of big thing for me during the holidays is to try to be wary about that. And, number two is to remember that whether you're going to a hotel or whether you're, you know, traveling somewhere, train, plane, automobile, whatever, that the staff's going to be stressed, because they're going to have, this is the busiest time of the year for travel. So they're dealing with all kinds of different people and all kinds of different problems. And, you know, just try to make sure that you arrive early to, you know, wherever you are headed, and make sure that you kind of try to have that calming attitude rather than being upset.
Right. And that can be helpful. It doesn't, adding to the stress doesn't help anybody.
Indeed.
Can some of that stress maybe be prevented just by planning and doing things before you actually head out the door?
I would definitely say that without question, you know, giving yourself enough time to make sure that you can plan for issues that could potentially come up is probably, you know, the biggest thing for me, making sure that, you know, if you need help getting to a gate, to make sure that you get there early enough so that you can get in line for, you know, somebody to give you the assistance that you need, and just planning ahead so that you're not, you know, running late and like you said, compounding the issues.
Right. Do you use technology when you travel to help, I guess, not only make reservations, I'm sure, but navigating once you're going?
Yeah, I use a couple of different things, specifically for luggage, which for me is one of the big things, right? So when you're traveling, you kind of have, you know, points during your trip that you're going to have anxiety. And one of those things for me is getting my luggage off of the carousel when it comes around. You know, obviously finding the carousel is, you know, a big problem, but you know, once somebody kind of drops you at the carousel and, you know, good luck, then, you know, you're kind of trying to figure out the best way to do it. If you have some sight, like for my suitcase, personally, I have like a black Samsonite suitcase, and I have like green duct tape that I put on it, kind of, well, my wife did, but artfully, so that when that thing comes off of the conveyor belt, that, you know, I can at least see it and know that it's mine. It's not going to look like anybody else's, you know? And, the second thing is try to figure out if technology can help you with finding your suitcase by using like AirTags if you have an iPhone, or like a Tile. In the case of AirTags, when you can actually turn on the Find My in your iPhone, and it'll tell you how close your suitcase is to you, which is a huge help, especially if you know don't know when it's coming off of the conveyor. And then if you use Tile or AirTags, you can actually click them to make them make noise. So you definitely know, that is my suitcase and it'll make noise. So it's just one of those things that helps, you know?
Right. Well, and that would be useful whether you're have luggage you've checked for a train trip or a bus trip, any of those, as well as air travel.
Yep.
Are there any other tools or resources you recommend?
Yeah, so this summer, I spent a lot of travel time, and I used the Aira app, which is similar to the Be My Eyes app, if you're familiar with that. Basically, it's a visual interpreting app where you can kind of turn on your phone, and the person that's on the other end, the agent, can see through your phone. So, you know, whether you're trying to find your way to the gate, or whether you're trying to find, you know, your bag, they can definitely help you, which is really cool. And in the case of Aira, they actually have a Access AI feature in there. So if you're sitting in a restaurant and you want to have the menu read to you, it's a really good option. It'll also tell you kind of your surroundings, and it does it really, really well. So, I mean, not a commercial, but just it's one of those things that I use all the time.
This worked for you. Well, I could see that helping if you're in an airport or a train station or a bus terminal that is very busy, and as you said, may have things that have been moved around, or, you know, trees added, decorations added, to be able to help you stay oriented when there's lots of people around you.
Right. It's a cool service any time of year, but especially during the holidays. If you take a snap a quick pic, and it'll tell you if there's, you know, things in your way. Of course, you know, kind of for me, I have the cheat code, so I use the guide dog. So a lot of times she, you know, gets me around those things.
I know not everyone has a guide dog, but I know many of our listeners do have guide dogs. And sometimes people question that as you're traveling. Are there any more occurrences of that, or any other issues that seem to happen more frequently during holiday travel?
You mean as far as people questioning whether she's a legitimate service animal?
Yes.
You know, that happens all the time, whether it's jumping into an Uber or, you know, having the Uber turn you down for a ride because you have a dog. And I would say most commonly that happens during, you know, times when you're going in to eat somewhere, you know, in restaurants and that sort of things.
Right.
And it's a training thing, right? It comes down to the fact that, you know, the restaurant industry, you know, hospitality industry has a high turnover rate. So I don't necessarily know that they can always train people, you know, as much as they need to. So a lot of times somebody that's, you know, the host or hostess that's going to be seating you, don't always know how to deal with somebody that has a service dog. So at least a legitimate one.
Right. And you might encounter that if you're at an airport restaurant or something during a layover as well.
So. Anywhere. Yeah. But yeah. Especially in a restaurant, a airport restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about trying to remember to be nice when you're speaking with staff or flight attendants. And do you have any tips for folks to be able to communicate to those service providers so that they can understand your needs as a person who's traveling with low vision? Because they might be very rushed and not particularly wanting to listen to extra things.
Yeah, especially when they're rushed and especially this time of year, because, you know, like I said, everybody and their grandmother's coming through the airport and right. You know, they're seeing such high volumes of people. And I think right now that, you know, not only are we in the crazy travel, but I think we're seeing, you know, record amounts of people traveling this particular holiday season, which is amazing for the economy. Right. But, I would say, you know, one of those things is to be able to make sure that you communicate effectively. I mean, I have had my white cane in my hand and sauntered up to the desk to ask for help, and they, you know, completely don't understand that I have a vision problem. So I think, you know, one of those things to try to take a moment and identify yourself as somebody who is blind or has vision problems, can really go a long way in those conversations, and make sure that they, you know, have the information that they need to be able to, offer you, you know, help. And again, you know, keeping the good attitude and not getting upset when some, you know, waving your cane around and saying, you know, look, I'm blind.
Right. But being very upfront about that. So they're, even though we would think a white cane would indicate that, maybe
or
not
a guide dog.
Or a guide dog. Maybe you not think. Everybody is noticing. Noticing
right,
100%.
Things. Yeah. So. And they're all exhausted, right? They're working long hours and they're just seeing people, you know, one after another. So kind of having that understanding of other things that's going on really will help you, you know, kind of keep the stress down. And I think that, you know, we talked about the technology and having the air tags and that sort of stuff. And all of these things that I, you know, talk about are things that will hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, make your travel from point A to point B less stressful.
Definitely. And what about if you end up having a long layover or wait, or, you know, a flight is canceled, or that's the worst case, I guess, scenario, a flight canceled, or even a delay of just managing those things when you're sort of stuck there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, weather happens, snow happens. And especially when you're talking about, you know, Christmas time and that sort of stuff, when we start to see snow, just about everywhere, except in the West, of course, or very much in the West, but, you know, having some snacks in your bag definitely helps, because I don't like to be hangry, you know. So, you know, just having some, even if it's just something like some peanuts or whatever, definitely helps. But I always try to make sure that I have at least a couple audiobooks that I've been listening to downloaded, and make sure that your batteries are charged. Make sure that you've got, I use, again, Apple iPhone. So I use the AirPods, which are really nice, especially for, you know, layovers and traveling, because you can pop those in and then you can hold it down so that you can hear through. It has a pass through. So if you're listening to your book, you can hear what's going on around you. And if you're on the plane, then you can hold that down, and it does a really good job of isolating all that noise and gets that engine rumble out that always gives us all wonderful headaches and that sort of stuff. So, and along with that, I would say to make sure that you have some sort of backup battery. I use, I believe the brand is Anker, and it's a magnetic battery. I think they come from Amazon, and you can get a couple of different like sizes of the battery. And for me, tactily, you'd kind of just turn the magnet one way or the other way, and it'll just snap right onto your phone. And I believe it works with Android as well, but it'll snap on there, and they're like $20 or something like that. But it'll charge your AirPods or your phone or whatever. And you can do ones that'll charge your phone once or twice, or you can do it ones that'll charge, you know, three or four times. But of course, those are, you know, much more expensive, but right. You know, kind of the snacks and the things to listen to. Also almost always have a movie loaded onto my phone so that I can listen to that. And while I'm, you know, hanging out, and I find that, you know, things, especially if you're watching a movie, to bring something that's your favorite. So, you know, I almost always have like Star Wars or something like that, that I just can listen to and that I know, you know, back to front, and I can just put it on. So,
yeah. Yeah. Those are great suggestions. So once you arrive, when you finally arrive, if you're fortunate, maybe you have friends or family coming to meet you, and they will get you to where you need to go. But that may not be the case, and especially if you're in an unfamiliar city. What suggestions do you have for folks when they need to get a ride and get to a hotel, or, you know, perhaps a home or Airbnb or something?
You know, number one is always be willing to ask for help. And for me, for a very long time, being able to kind of get that confidence, to build that confidence, to be able to, you know, approach somebody, whether they're behind a desk or whatever, and just say, can you give me a little bit of clue about where I'm at, where I'm headed? You know, if you're looking for baggage claim, or if you're looking for the, you know, the Uber, the rideshare, whatever, to be able to confidently ask for help. That's number one. And number two, I would say if you're in a hotel and you're in an area that you don't know, to embrace the experts and talk to the concierge staff, or a lot of times the valet, you know, is amazing at giving suggestions for hotel or for restaurants and for, you know, locations for, you know, if you're in a city that has a subway or something like that. They'll also kind of give you, you know, what's going on right now too, which is really cool. So they'll say, okay, you can head down this particular street, but watch out for the construction. So it's one of those things that you can not only have the, you know, the kind of the information that you would get from Yelp or from Google or whatever, but they'll also give you that real time stuff. And so, you know, just embrace them. And I would say that, you know, over and above that, to ask them about restaurants. And a lot of times if I'm going to head out to a hotel or something like that, I'll look at, you know, the restaurants that are around there and look at the menus online, you know, and try to get an idea. So that I try to do all that research ahead of time so that I have less stress. Mm-hmm. But you know, if they have an option for some place to go that's really cool that you've maybe never been, then trying something new, and just, you know, just do what you can. Use your technology, use Be My Eyes, use Aira, use whatever you need to use to read the menu, or, you know, research it in the Uber on the way over, and just you know, try to go with the flow and have a good time, you know?
Yeah, definitely you want your travel to be fun yes. as it can be. Are there things people should consider if they are making hotel reservations that would make their accommodations more accessible?
And again, that's where I will definitely embrace the people that are on the ground there. A lot of times if you just call the hotel numbers for wherever you're going to stay, the people at the front desk are, you know, they're front lines, right? So they're super busy. They're completely, you know, crazy about, you know, getting to the next call. But if you talk to the concierge or the valet or whatever, just on the phone, a lot of times they can give you that information. You know, they can definitely give you this hotel navigation friendly, you know, accessibility friendly, and to just, again, be able to ask for that information. But, you know, when you talk about booking, there's not a whole lot that you can do that I've found on like the websites and that sort of stuff, because the problem is that you can ask for a room with a king size bed, and you can ask for a room that's accessible for your guide dog or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what the availability is at the time when you walk in the door. And especially during the holidays, you just never know. So you could get stuck down a hallway somewhere.
right. But sometimes it is worth making that call, as opposed to just going online, having that personal contact. You definitely can learn information that you won't learn on a website.
Indeed.
Are there common misconceptions people have about accessible travel, especially during holiday times?
Yeah, that's one of those things, right? It's I would say that the biggest misconception for accessible travel is that there is going to be somebody to help you get to your gate. And that's one of those things that you can, sometimes you can plan, you know, a whole bunch of time ahead of time, and everybody in the world needs help getting to their gate, and there's just nobody to help you. So sometimes you either need to just be patient and be okay with it, or, you know, kind of talk up somebody that's headed your way. I mean, kind of listen to people that are saying, you know, I'm going to, you know, Denver, or I'm going to, you know, New York, or wherever you're headed, and try to say, you know, can I follow you to the gate? And mm-hmm. I've done that a bunch of times. And I've also done the Be My Eyes and the IRA, because mm-hmm. a lot of the airports are free, which is really cool. So the service normally would be a paid service for bringing up an agent and having them direct you to get to, you know, gate 34 or whatever. A lot of times you can do up to like half an hour for free on IRA, because the airports are partnering with those services to make travel more accessible, which is awesome.
Definitely. You've traveled for many years now.
Yes.
How have you seen things improve? I'm hoping they have improved.
They have. And I really think that, you know, with what's going on with the Department of Transportation, with service animals and making sure that you have paperwork and making sure that service animals are supposedly legitimate and that kind of stuff, I think it's really brought people who need help and kind of more to the forefront, and made accessible travel kind of maybe more important. So I really think that, you know, there are, It's starting to become an important thing for a lot of service providers, especially like United. Mm-hmm. I fly all kinds of different airlines. I fly American. I fly Southwest all the time, because they're more, you know, value friendly. But for me, I'd say, you know, today, right now, if I was going to travel from point A to point B solo, that I would choose United. And again, not a sponsor, I have worked with them in the past, but I'm currently not working with them. But right now they have kind of an initiative going, with their staff, which is really cool. So if you use the pre-boarding, which gives you more time to kind of, you know, get to your seat and get settled and that kind of stuff. As soon as they see somebody that has a white cane, they are really, really good about making sure that you get to your seat. And then they'll actually, while everybody else is loading on board, they'll take a moment and a lot of times they'll sit with you. Not all the time, but I would say a good 90% of the time right now, somebody will sit with you and say, okay, have you flown before? Do you understand, you know, the airplane that you're in? Do you know where the emergency exits are? Do you know how the seatbelts work? Do you know how that, you know, if we have a depressurization, that the airbags will come down, and they will go through everything with you. And it is so cool. And I hope that more airlines take the tact that they're doing, and move forward to make it more accessible, especially for people who have vision issues.
Wow, that's amazing. I did not realize that. And it's not something I've just happened to see, you know, in person. But that's really great. That is so helpful.
We traveled with United this whole summer, and they have just been amazing.
Wow, that's good to know. And that could be something very good to know for a person who's maybe they've traveled before, but they haven't traveled since they've lost vision.
Right.
And maybe it just happens that they weren't able to travel before the holidays to, you know, kind of practice that and do that. So if their first time flying since they've lost vision is during holiday travel, obviously United could be an option, if they have flights to where you're going, and obviously affordability is always there. But if you're able to do that, that sounds like that would be a good option. Are there other tips you'd have for somebody who's traveling for the first time with vision loss?
First, I would say if you haven't traveled in a while and you've chosen to travel during the holidays, you're kind of jumping into the deep end with both feet.
Yeah,
these things are a little
definitely
crazy. and I would say that, you know, making sure that, again, I'll go back to it again to understand that, you need to try to keep a solid, you know, you don't have to be happy. You don't have to be cool, but you just got to be calm. Right. And most importantly, you got to be okay with asking for help. And wherever you go, it's one of those things that even if you're really good at it, practice, right. Because practice makes perfect. And especially if you're traveling solo, to be able to, you know, not only talk to people who are staff members, but to be able to practice talking to the general public and say, mm-hmm. I'm heading towards gate 34 and I want to make sure that I'm headed the right way. Can you just make sure that I'm headed that direction? Mm-hmm. And you know, that kind of will help you not only become more confident about, you know, asking for help, but you know, it gets that practice. And every time you do it, it gets easier. And I can't really stress enough that that's one of those things that as a traveler, long-time traveler and as a frequent traveler, being able to ask for help is one of those things that is just invaluable.
And I think most of the time people want to help. I mean, you might come across a curmudgeon-y person that doesn't want to help you, especially in holiday travel that's really in a rush and, you know, they're racing to a gate. But being able to take that in stride, and I think most people do want to help if they can.
Yeah. And a lot of people are, you know, you can meet some really cool people, right? And just, you know, be able to sit down and just talk to people and don't, you know, a lot of times I'll use my headphones and that kind of stuff, but a lot of times I'll also make myself available, especially if I have my guide dog, because people mm-hmm. always want to know about guide dogs. They want to know about their service. They want to know, you know, how they provide their service and, you know, kind of what their role in society is. And I love to be able to talk about that and kind of always have my mental talking points. And, you know, my guide is always, you know, super happy to be the ambassador of good girls everywhere.
Are there resources or organizations or communities, online groups that you would recommend if a person is trying to learn about more about accessible travel?
Yeah, I have. So for me, I personally run blindtravels.com. Mm-hmm. And I do, you know, destination reviews from everything from just, you know, regular hotels to travel providers and even like national parks to try to allow you to have a resource for doing the research before you, you know, head on out to where you're going. But there are also other places that you can check out, the Hadley School for the Blind, and they're at hadleyhelps.org. They actually have a travel podcast as well that focuses just on travel. And I've been on there a couple of times and they always have, you know, very good information. So again, hadleyhelps.org. You can check out your local chapter of National Federation for the Blind. There's always people that are traveling and willing to kind of give tips and tricks no matter where you are. And the National Federation for the Blind and the American Council for the Blind has local chapters everywhere. And if you're a guide dog user, they have a service called Paws Around the World, PAWS, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. And that's an email kind of forum where they send you kind of email questions and people have comments and that kind of stuff. So it's a very good service from, you know, that will help out from everything from just traveling with your guide dog to just general questions about traveling. So yeah, there's a ton of resources for it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always advisable and great to be able to take advantage of other people's experiences.
Yes.
So it makes your travel a little bit less stressful and knowing what to expect, maybe deciding to avoid a location or a hotel or something, just having those recommendations of people that have been to the location or use a particular airline or whatever can be so helpful.
It definitely helps. And doing research definitely is one of those things that's really important, especially if you're one of those people that's not used to snow or an ice and that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. Cause that can definitely be a travel challenge. And if you're a guide dog user, having to have the dreaded snow booties, you know, because there's nothing worse right. than having to wear the booties. For my girl, she'll tell you that she's absolutely being beat every moment that she has to have the booties on her feet, you know. But, you know, just being able to be prepared and knowing, you know, the weather situation that you're going to be in. And again, like you say, be prepared for delays. So,
yeah. I think Everybody has to be prepared for delays at holiday time.
Yep.
So we talked a lot about lots of challenges, and I think we all know that whether you have sight or not, holiday travel just can be really challenging. But do you have a good thing, a favorite thing about traveling during the holidays, even with all these challenges?
My favorite thing about traveling, especially during the holidays, because it's kind of like if traveling, you know, solo with a vision impairment is kind of like a 5 out of 10, traveling during the holidays can push that into like an 8 or a 9. Yep. And you know, my favorite thing, the thing that really just makes me feel good is that once you actually reach the destination and you've done all your research and you've struggled through the airport and you got there super early and you dealt with delays or weather or anything like that, that feeling that you get, that empowering feeling, that confidence building feeling that you get, that, you know, you did that thing and mm-hmm. that was awesome. And, you know, you rock.
Well, for all of our listeners, hold on to that thought as you are doing your holiday travel, that you can do this. And if you've done all your research and your prep, that you will get through it. So, and you might even enjoy it. You might meet somebody during your travels and have a great conversation or have a great meal. And hopefully you'll have a great holiday experience wherever you're going. Ted, thank you. As always, you've shared such useful information with us, and I'm sure it will benefit our listeners. So thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And I just want to also give you a plug again. If you want to find out more information about what Ted is doing, you can go to his website, tahquichi.com, which is tahquechi.com.
Yep. And if you're interested in, we talked a little bit about the disabled arts, or we talked a little bit about the tactile art stuff.
Yes.
We have disabledart.com now. And that gives a whole bunch of information about the project and the history of the project and what we're doing moving forward with, you know, getting it into galleries and getting it into different museums and that sort of stuff. So we're looking at kind of hopefully making it a larger scale project. So that's exciting. Well,
that's very exciting. Very exciting. We'll have something to look forward to then in the new year as well.
Indeed.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to our episode today. I hope you've gained some great information about prepping as you travel, getting around busy terminals, whether they're bus terminals, train terminals, or airport terminals, and just trying to keep a positive attitude as much as you can as you're dealing with other folks who are also rushing to get where they are and tired service providers at those desks. So keep a good attitude and then just know that you can do this. I just also want to mention we're right in the midst of being able to do early scheduling for Colorado Gives Day donations. So if you are enjoying this podcast or any other of AfterSight's other podcasts, the Blind Chick, BLT, or Blind Sight, and you're able to, we'd encourage you to go to coloradogives.org. And if you look for AfterSight, you can make a donation to AfterSight, and that will help us to be able to continue to provide these really great podcasts for you. Next week, we're continuing on with travel a little bit different than, or holidays, sorry. We're continuing on with holidays. So a little bit different from travel. You may be traveling to visit family or they may be local, but it's an episode on staying connected with your loved ones during the holidays. And our guest will be Bill Lundgren, who also is the host of our Blind Sight podcast. So thanks for listening. And I hope this information helps you to navigate your life with vision loss.